Baruchim Abayim, welcome back everyone. As we begin the Navi Shir for Shnas Tovshin, Ayin Beis, as always we begin by expressing our gratitude to Agudas Yisrael of America for starting the Navi Shir, to Achiezer congregation for allowing us use of this beautiful building, to TCN, the satellite network, and our dear Menachem, and the satellite sites, who participate long distance, and of course to all of you who have Baruch Hashem come back once again to further our understanding of the Nevi'im Rishayim. This year we also express a thank you to the Schultz family of Skokie, Illinois, for sponsoring tonight's shir, Lili Nishmas, Yitzchak Ben Shimon, Irving Schultz, on the occasion of the completion of the Yud Beis Chodesh, tonight, Chof Hei Tishrei, Tovshin Ayin Beis. Most of all, we thank the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for having brought us back here, Gesundheit, leaving my voice mostly intact from Simchas Torah, and Baruch Hashem, giving us the ability to pursue the wondrous words of the Navi, as we will this year in the study of Sefer Yehoshua. We start Perek Beis. The first Perek was an introduction. We were told that Yeshua and Klal Yisrael wept, had a 30-day period of mourning for the passing of Moshe Rabbeinu, while we just learned in the Torah 2 days ago. And during this 30-day period of mourning, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam repeatedly told Yeshua, Chazak ve'amotz, to strengthen himself for the challenge that is to come. And as Perek Aleph ended, Rak Chazek Ve'ematz, Perek Beis begins with the first independent action of Yeshua. The first thing he decides to do as the leader of Klal Yisrael, Rashi holds that this took place still during the 30 days of the Avelus of Moshe. What is that first thing that Yeshua does? Vayishlach Yeshua ben Nun min Hashitim. Yeshua ben Nun is still in Shittim, in Eiver HaYarden, not yet in Eretz Yisrael. He sends Shnayim Anoshim Meraglim Cheresh. Two people to be Meraglim, spies, Cheresh, to go secretly. Laimar, and he tells them, Lechu Reu Es Haaretz Ves Yerichai. Go scout the land of Israel, and specifically the city of Yerichai, the first city that they are to attempt to conquer. Vayelchu, and these spies set out, Vayavayu Beis Isha Zayna, and they come the first night to the house of Isha Zayna Ushma Rachav Vayishkavu Shama. They come to the house of Rachav HaZayna. As we will learn, there are chilukei deis as to whether the word Zayna here is meant a house of ill repute, a place of znus, or Isha Zayna, a home that was a hotel, a place that provided minei mezaynos. So we'll come back to that when we discuss the issue of this individual, Rachav HaZayna. What we learned tonight has got to be a surprise to everybody, that the first thing Yeshua does must be something he saw by Moshe Rabbeinu. He learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. What's the first thing he does? He sends Meraglim to Eretz Yisrael. And we all wonder, what is Yeshua thinking? The whole 40-year delay in entering Eretz Yisrael came as a result of the ill-advised sending of Meraglim in the first place. Something, as Rashi says, the Rabbeinu Shalom didn't command. Shalach lecha ledaitcha, he gave them permission, but no command to ever send Meraglim. And here, Yeshua, the first thing he does is to send Meraglim. Incredibly difficult first action for Yeshua. And the Abarbanel writes here, Hasha'ela HaRishayna, the first question that we have, Mashahira Ralbag, was already asked by the Ralbag. Lama shalach miraglim im yidiyasai mashanim shach kevar bimei Moshe b'shlichusam. Why did Yeshua send miraglim, knowing full well what had transpired in Moshe Rabbeinu's time when he sent miraglim? V'koshkein sholoi tzivayu Hashem Yisbarach. He wasn't commanded to send miraglim. Why is Yeshua making what seems to be the same mistake? The Rabbag answers that the purpose of the miraglim was to give chizuk to Klal Yisrael. And Abba Abinel says, I don't understand. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's intention as well. It still is an action which had results that were catastrophic. And why is Yeshua repeating it? Abba Abinel, and the Malbim follows his shita, say, they say that Moshe Rabbeinu did not take adequate precautions. Yeshua was more careful. He sent them quietly. He sent only two people. Chazal say the two miraglim were Pinchas and Kalev, people that you could rely on. But even after the Abarbanel and Malbim's Teretz, we're still left wondering, Lama loy litzara hazais? Why? It took precautions. Why send miraglim? For what purpose? And tonight we're going to try to come to a fuller understanding of the words of the Rishayim and a better understanding of Yeshua's plan. There's a second problem. These miraglim go to the house of Rachav Hazayna. The first night they're there, they're discovered. The 12 miraglim, they made it without a problem for 40 days. These miraglim are discovered the first night the king of Yerichai sent soldiers to arrest them. And they have to hide for 3 days, and they come back to Yeshua. Their mission, it seems to us, is a flop. One night, Yeshua told them, see the whole land and Yerichai. It seems to have been a flop. But that's not what they do. They come back, and at the end of the parak, when they return, they say, V'yomru al Yeshua, ki nosen Hashem b'yadeinu es kol ha'aretz, v'gam namaygu ku yashu ha'aretz b'fneinu. They talk as if they were successful. What's going on here? That's a success? One evening and they're discovered? So these are obvious difficulties which definitely need to be explained. The Mahalach I'd like to share with you comes from the Madani Shmuel on Parsha Shlach, and with a proper understanding it really explains the Rishayim, the Rabag and the Abarbanel. To explain, let's step back to the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva. It's still the month of Tishrei, we're allowed to learn Hilchas Tshuva. And there the Rambam in Perek Beis writes, Eizu hi tshuva gemura. What is the best tshuva? The solid tshuva. Says the Rambam, Ze shebole yadoi dovar she'avar bai. If a person was over, he transgressed, he did an aveira, and now he has the opportunity to do it again. The opportunity presents itself again. And he's physically capable of repeating the aveira. And he didn't do it because of tshuva. That is tshuva. When the aveira presents itself again, a person is not over. Now we understand. Yeshua is saying, Klal Yisrael had this aveira with the nisayon of the miraglim. We're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. We need tshuva gemura. Let's send miraglim again. And this time we will stand in the nisayon, and it'll be a complete tshuva. Sounds like a simple teretz. So what do we learn from here? You did an aveira. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur passed. You did tshuva. Go try to do it again. Is that what they teach us? Yeah, go try to do it again. Like, you did something wrong. So you told yourself, I'm never turning on the internet again. So Yeshua says, what do you mean? The Rambam says, you want to do tshuva? Turn it on again. Do it again. We say, Al Tavieni Lidei Nisayin. What's pshat in this Rambam? The Aveira comes again. Well, the Rambam might mean, if it happens to come again. But here we're learning, put yourself in that situation again, could it be? Reb Tzadik has a sefer, Takanas HaShavim, about tshuva. And there in page Lamed Tes of Most Prints, the end of Simon Tes, he brings in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, and in the name of the Kli Yakar in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, that if you did an Aveira, and you want to do tshuva, go to the place of the Aveira again, and test yourself, be oimed, be successful, and that's tshuva. Sounds like the Rambam. New thing. Now before you run out and do this, on this, Reb Tzadik writes that b'mechilas kvaidon, he says, lo yinin lehiyamer. You're not allowed to say things like that. Someone fell, he did an aveira, he went someplace he wasn't allowed to go, he did things he wasn't allowed to do. You tell him to go and try it again? Lo yinin lehiyamer. We don't say to do it again. What's pshat? So now, not only we have to figure out what Yeshua was doing, we have to figure out what the Baal Shem Tov and the Kli Yakar are talking about. Bring yourself again to a Nisayan? Test yourself again? Is that the plan? Certainly this needs a pshat. And if they mean that Yeshua was already certain, if you come to a point where you're positive you won't do the Aveira, so you go to that place again, and what's the purpose? If you're certain, so what's the purpose in going back there? It needs an explanation. So as we try to understand Yeshua tonight, we try to understand these Gedolim as well. And with one Mahalech, with one approach, things will open up for us. But in order to understand, let's step back. We know that there are seven midos, seven attributes of the Ribbono Shel Olam, which we look to emulate as best we can. Chesed, Gevura, Teferes, Netzach, Hoid, Yesod, Malchus. Well, Chesed, we all know, kindness. Gevura is discipline. A frum Jew is trained to discipline himself. The third midah, the midah of Yaakov Avinu, Teferes, is a midah of emes, of truth, of balance. We are taught chesed. We're taught gevura. We're taught emes. The fourth midah, the midah of Moshe Rabbeinu, is the midah called netzach. And that's rarely spoken about. I guess we have to master chesed, gevura, and teferes. But there is a midah of netzach. What is netzach? What does netzach mean? And what does it have to do with Moshe Rabbeinu? Well, in Hebrew, the word netzach is used in two ways. It's used in the sense of nitzachon. Nitzachon is victory, winning. It's also used in the sense of netzach netzachim, of eternity. Seem to be two totally different uses of the word. Eternity, la'olam va'ed, is netzach netzachim. And nitzuach is to win, to be a winner. This midah has to do with our battle with the Yetzer Hara. Each of us has our has his own struggle. Each of us has his own battle with the Yetzer Hara. There are things we struggle with, things that have to do with davening, things that have to do with shalom bayis, things that have to do with learning. Each of us struggles with his own nisayon. What is netzach? Netzach is an attempt to fight the battle in a way that wins a battle permanently, or as permanently as a human being can win. In other words, we struggle. It's hard to struggle every day. It's hard to struggle with the same nisayon every morning and every evening. There comes a point, sometimes, where we try to put away our enemy for good. We try to say, I'm past that. 10 years ago, I had a yetzer hara to talk in shul, talk during davening. I've grown past it. It's not my yetzer hara anymore. I have a different yetzer hara today. But that yetzer hara is not my yetzer hara. Al tiftach ba'atzmacha al yomayischa, I can never be certain. But in the holach yelech of life, as our days go on, we try to take our battles and push some of them away and say, this is not our battle. It's lower than our nekudas habechira. It's something we've defeated. Netzach means victory, and netzach means permanence, forever. We need, in our avodas Hashem, to take certain issues, certain struggles, and put them behind us. As we grow, we have to be able to say that that struggle is an old struggle. I'm not going to struggle with it every day. It's something that I do now routinely. The Yetzer Hara is still here. We have new struggles. But Netzach is that Midah. Why is it the Midah of Moshe Rabbeinu? Because Moshe Rabbeinu alone, among all human beings, was guaranteed at the time the Rabbeinu Shel Olam gave the Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu and told Klal Yisrael that whatever Moshe Rabbeinu says is Torah Mesinai. From then and on, Moshe Rabbeinu had no bechira. He could no longer choose to do averus. Because the Rabbeinu Shalom already guaranteed that every word of his was Torah Mesinai. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu achieved the ultimate netzach, the ultimate level of that battle. But that nekuda of netzach is a battle with the Yetzer Hara, which we have to try to achieve in certain areas where we struggle. And don't think it's not doable. Don't let people tell you that it's not that way. You're always going to struggle. It's true, there's always the Yetzer Hara. But an old Yetzer Hara could be put behind you. Look at how a child grows up. Every child, as he grows up, he's in kindergarten, he can't sit still. There comes a point where the struggle to sit still is over. He sits in a chair, he sits in a classroom. Now there's a new struggle. He's got to pay attention. He's got to learn. But every person, as a person grows up, the old battles are behind him. And there are new battles ahead of him. And there has to be a time in our own lives, the halach yelech, the struggles with the Yetzer Hara from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, from year to year, where we finally tell ourselves, let's put that behind us. Let's shoot for this midah of Nitzachin, of a permanent Nitzachin, a victory, to put certain Yetzaharis behind us. I once read of a young man who was in law school, and he approached Rabbi Twersky. He told Rabbi Twersky there are too many Yetzaharis. He was in yeshiva all the years. Now he's in law school full time. Too many Yetzaharis, he's falling. Rabbi Twersky told him, listen, make a list of your struggles. And you have to pick two or three and take them off the table. You can't struggle with them every day. You're going to be exhausted from the battle. take a couple of things and tell yourself, this is not negotiable. These are things that I don't do. These are places I don't go. I don't attend class till I go daven shacharis. Period. Whatever the fallout. This is not something that there's going to be a battle over. The midah of netzach. The midah of being able to conquer something in as permanent a way you can. It's not a midah we hear much about, but it's a midah that's necessary in our avodas Hashem. Yeshua is about to enter Eretz Yisrael. What was the great fear? The nisayin of Klal Yisrael, from the day they left Mitzrayim, pen yinochem hara'am b'roisa mulchama v'shavu Mitzrayimah. The people are going to be frightened and they'll say, let's go back. Why can't we live as Jews in Egypt? From day one. And that's a refrain that we kept on singing in Chumash. Lama Hashem evi yaisanu la'aret hazais. Ninfal b'charev. Why can't we stay in Mitzrayim? Zecharnu es hadogah, shachalnu chinam. Yeshua knew. We're crossing the Yarden. There are going to be new nisyonos. That old nisayon has to be put away. I'm sending meraglim. Not because I need the meraglim to see a whole lot of stuff. They don't have to see anything. They have to go. And the people have to know they go. And it has to be quiet. And everybody has to put it behind him. Each individual has to know there's no more peninochem ra'am b'raisa mulchama. And they entered Eretz Yisrael. And they were new nisayinus. But this nisayin Yeshua was successful. L'netzach. It was pushed off the table. Take it off the table. Don't struggle with it. It's over. To make it over, you have to do it. You can't just decide. You have to go out and do something. You have to go out and reenact it. It has to happen. The battle has to take place. And every individual, whether it's a child, an adult, even if a person is already a grandfather, to grow, a person grows on his previous struggles. All struggles are the foundations for further growth. The destroyed Yetzer Hara of yesterday is the step on which a person stands and fights the new Yetzer Hara of tomorrow. If you push something away, lo netzach, you'll still struggle with the Yetzer Hara. It'll be a newer one on a higher level. And that's the lesson. And it's what the Rabbag is saying, that Yeshua sent them to give chizuk to the people. Not just to give chizuk, that they'll come back and say, it's a weak people, we can defeat them. There weren't a weak people. The chizuk is deja vu. What happened then, it'll happen again, but this time, it's behind us. And that's the midah of Netzach. That's the midah we're learning tonight. Now, I have one problem. Sounds nice. Sounds good. Beautiful midah of Netzach. And the only way to do it is to defeat yesterday's Yetzer Hara. However, I told you right away, don't go out and try it. Don't go to yesterday's Yetzer Hara again. So what do we do? So Reb Tzadik gives us a great plan. Reb Tzadik in Takanas HaShavim, after he brings the Baal Shem Tov and the Kli Yakar, who say you must go to the old Nisayan and defeat your Yetzer Hara. And they mean Lo Netzach. And Reb Tzadik says, Lo Nid Lehi Amer, you're not allowed to say such a thing. But then Reb Tzadik suggests a plan. We know that the Torah tells us to make siyagim, to make gates, to make gedarim. We know it's osur to knock a nail into a building on Shabbos. And we don't even handle hammers on Shabbos. It's muktzah. It's a siyag. We know we're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. We check our pockets erev Shabbos. It's a siyag. Rive, not rive. The overwhelming majority of things that from the Yidden do are siyagim, are gates, are protection. Says Reb Tzadik, in your personal Yetzaharis, make siyagim. Make gates, make boundaries. Put up some type of a wall. And let that become your battle. Let that become the area of Milchama. What Yetzaharis are there today? The internet is certainly a tremendous Yetzahara. And it certainly drags many people down. And yet, the internet is part of our life. Most people, in most areas of life, have no choice. Apparently, have no choice but to use the internet. So what do? The Yetzahara is there. The answer is you make siyagim. Create a siyag. What's a siyag? You decide that you use it for the things you need. That's it. No entertainment. No news. Nothing else. Just what you need. And what happens? V'yetzahara. To look at the news. And it becomes a battle. Sakrab Tzadik, aha! Yesterday your battle was looking at things you're definitely not allowed to look at. At Znus, Ritzicha, all types of Avodah Zarah. Yesterday your Yetzara was to look at Shmutz. Today you build a Siyag. You change the battleground. Now the battle is, this year I'm not going to use it for any entertainment, only for what I need. You'll have a Yetzirah. The Yetzirah will be there to look at other things that are interesting. But you see, the battleground changes. Sakhar of Tzadik, of course, to win, you have to go try it. But don't try it with the Shmutz. Try it with the Siyag. Try it with the Geder. And see there if you can be Aymed. If that becomes the battleground, and the other battleground is not the battleground anymore. Then there's a nitzachin, a netzach, a permanence. In the beginning of Parshas Kiseitze, it says, Kiseitze la melchama ala yavecha, which the Bali Musar, the Rechaim HaKadosh, and many others, Taich, Kiseitze la melchama ala yavecha, is a double reference, a reference also to a battle with the Yetzirah. What does Rashi say? Kiseitze la melchama al oyevecha b'melchemes rishus hakasav medaber. Beautiful. You're fighting the Yetzahara, fight a melchemes a rishus. Looking at the news is a rishus. Make that geder. Don't let the battle with the Yetzahara be a battle over the mitzvahs of the Torah. If there's a war, no one wants that the battle should come to the doorstep of the capital of the city. Chas v'shalom. The battle takes place far away in the mountains at the border. And that way, even if a battle is lost, the war is not over. The same thing with the Milchama, with the Yetzahara. Create Siyagim and shoot for a Nitzachin in the Siyagim. And if you struggle with the Siyagim, but it's off the table. The underlying issue, the issue you really need, you've taken it off the table. This important midah is a midah we need not only in Bein Adam Lamakim, in Bein Adam Lachaveirai, in Bein Adam Leishtai as well. I and Rabbanim who deal with people all over struggle with the question of why Shalom Bayis has become so much more difficult. Why engagements have become so much more difficult. why even dating and getting there has become so much more difficult. And a good friend of mine, someone who deals with this regularly, said it's one word. Everything has become more complicated. Everything that we do has become very complicated, very involved. In my day, you went to one Eifruf, you've seen them all. An Eifruf was an Eifruf, they were all the same, more or less the same bags, a few more raisins, a few less raisins. What was in it already? The same bag, the same Kiddush. What was different? The chasen. You were mesameach with the chasen. You were mesameach with the kiddush. You were mesameach with the chasen. Remember, they used to bring in the potato kugel, and everyone knew it wasn't enough for everybody, so they would tackle the waiters. Right? That was the old enjoyment of an eifruf. It's become so much more complicated. The eifruf is more complicated. The engagement is more complicated. Everything is analyzed and thought about. Why? Why has life become so much more complicated? Because we have so many more options. There's so many more things on the table. When there are too many things on the table, you can't fight all the battles. You can't be satisfied if everything is a struggle. Everything is analyzed. How the chassan or the kala makes an impression on others, how they appear in public, how they dress, all of the not important essentials. And they cloud what happens in life. Schwer said that when he was engaged, the world of yesteryear, his in-laws bought him a talis. You buy a talis. No, they wanted to send it over to him. So they didn't have, that was before the plastic shopping bags that everybody has. They needed something to put it in. They scrounged around. They had a box that they put it in and sent it over to the chassan. The box happened to be one in which they had originally received a half a dozen DVDs. Not DVDs of today. That was an underwear brand of 40 years ago. And that's how the talis came, in a box like that. And they opened it. He said it seemed a bit strange to send a talis that way, but then you went on with life. Now, what would happen today? What would happen today? Imagine. We think into everything. We need to be able to take things off the table. We need not to worry about every little thing. We have to be able to put things behind us. The midah of netzach, of things not mattering, it's not important. A young couple has to sit down and decide what's important. Important that they're truthful with each other. It's important that they show consideration to each other. Those are the things that matter. These other narishkeit and the silliness, they make it just more complicated. It's a reverse of netzach. Netzach means there are things behind you that don't matter. You're too big for that. And we become too small. Very small. And suddenly everything matters. It can't be that way. It can't be. A couple can't live that way if everything matters. There's one more aspect of the midah of netzach I'd like to share with you. Perhaps a little more complicated, but if you'll understand it properly, it's an invaluable tool in our lives. To explain this, I'd like to talk a little bit about human psychology. The way people think. The way we all think. We all have a heart that pumps and lungs that breathe. And by and large, our minds work along the same pathways. Every person is different. But let me tell you something about us. We're ever at a wedding, and they get up to daven mincha, and everyone's there ready to daven mincha. A fellow's ready to daven, and they say to him, could you daven for the Amid? He says, well, if you want me to daven for the Amid, you have to give me a Siddur. So didn't you always wonder, a minute ago he's willing to daven without a Siddur. And now when he goes to the Amid, why does he suddenly need a Siddur? Huh? If he knows the words, he knows the words. If he doesn't know the words, so why is he davening without a Siddur in the first place? What's going on? How does that work in a person? Truth is, it's not the only example. Anytime a person can do things routinely, and suddenly there's a spotlight on him, it becomes harder to do. It becomes more difficult. A certain panic. I remember the first time I blew shofar in Yeshiva Torah V'Das on Rosh Hashanah. They were mechabed me to blow. I just turned 30. Shulchan Aruch says you should be 30. They were mechabed me to blow. I'm telling you, I blew shofar every single day, the entire month of June, to make sure I got it straight. I went upstairs to the fourth floor of the yeshiva, 8 o'clock in the morning, I blew shofar for 30 minutes. And one day, a high school boy walks in, and he looks at me in June, blowing shofar. And I say to him, sadly, sorry, it's not Mashiach. And he was very quick-witted, however you interpret it. He responded, I know you're not Mashiach, you don't look like the Lubavitcher Rebbe. That's what he told me. And I practiced for June. I went the summer, wherever I was, I came back in Elul, I blew a whole Elul. And I know what I blew Shofar. Vayhi Hayoyim, I got up there at the Bima, I made the brachis, I put the Shofar to my lips, the Rosh Hashiva was there saying Tekiah, and I'm telling you, I was ready to pass out. If the first Tekiah had not come out perfectly, I would have just root. Baruch Hashem, it came out well, and that gave me chizuk to continue. What happened exactly? What happened? I practiced so many times. What happens when a spotlight is on someone and he sort of panics? So I read a study. The study was about a baseball player. It was a ball player, some of you may be old enough to remember, by the name of Chuck Knoblauch. Chuck Knoblauch was a second baseman for a New York baseball team. He was a professional ball player. He was good at what he did. And suddenly, in the middle of a season, he could not throw the ball to first base. He was a second baseman, mind you. For those ignorant people here, the throw from second base to first base is the shortest throw on the baseball diamond. And every throw was wild. In front of 40, 50, 60,000 people, a routine ground ball, it suddenly was a mystery. What's going to happen? He threw the ball all over the place. He couldn't get it straight. He never lived it down. No one knew what happened to him. Some suggested he was a Gilgul in a previous life of a Boston Red Sox who came back to take revenge. But someone did a study. And that study is tremendously tzimzach, it's accurate, it gives a tremendous insight. The study gives us an understanding of what it means in English, the expression when someone is in the public arena and can't do what he does routinely, we say he choked. Choking is an expression for a ball player under pressure, panics. Or someone who gets up on stage and suddenly freezes. What exactly happens? So normally we understand that it's a form of panic. But it's really not. And understand that panic and choking are two different things. What happens when a person panics? A person blanks out. He gets up on stage, and he doesn't remember his lines, he doesn't remember what he's supposed to be doing. He doesn't know what he should be doing. His brain is not working. He puts the shofar to his mouth and he doesn't have any idea what to do. That's panic. Panic, someone's drowning. And he flails around and he can cause a lifeguard to drown with him. A panicking person doesn't think.
No brains. That's not what happens when a person chokes. When we say that someone chokes under pressure, he's not suffering from too little thinking. He's not suffering from too little concentration. He's suffering from too much concentration. From thinking too much. You see, the fellow at the wedding can daven Shemoneh Esrei by heart. It's no problem. He davens three times a day for many, many years. And when he stands, he really could say every single word. It's routine. It happens without too much concentration. But the minute he gets up in front of a dozen people or two or three dozen people and he starts concentrating, something goes haywire. Something goes wrong. When a person concentrates too much on routine things, his mental balance is lost. He loses it. And he's not able to do routine things when he concentrates too hard. A bacher could make kiddush at home at his Shabbos table every single Leil Shabbos, year after year. And then he becomes a chassan. He goes to his new in-laws and makes kiddush for the first time. You better take a bencher. You better look in. You're going to make a mistake. Because until now, it's routine. And suddenly now, you're concentrating very hard. Why human beings are that way is not our discussion. Our discussion is this poor baseball player who knew how to routinely throw things, a ball to first base. He knew how to do it. He did it since he was a little leaguer and a minor leaguer. He could do it in his sleep. That's the point. He could do it in his sleep. He could do it when no one's watching. He could do it without thinking. But as soon as he messed up once, and he knew that suddenly he's got to get it right, he started concentrating very hard when he threw the ball. And everything he had trained himself was gone. It was like teaching himself anew. Because he had trained himself to do things routinely. And when you concentrate too much, the old lessons fall away. You see, the refuah for panic is to think, to get a hold of yourself. You stand up to speak, and suddenly you get stage fright. The trick is, close your eyes, and just think of what you're supposed to be doing. That's the refuah for panic. That's not the refuah for choking. The refuah for choking is relax. Tell yourself, I've said Shemoneh Esrei three times a day for 30 years. I'm davening for Amud without a siddur. I could do it again. Think less. Poor Mr. Norblak. Everyone was telling him, concentrate more and more and more and more. And the more and more and more he concentrated, the more and more impossible it came to think straight and to do things the way he had been trained. In our language, there's a midah of netzach. There's a midah of nitzachim. There are certain things that we've trained our mind to take for granted. There are certain values we have which we take for certainty. We know it's that way. We know that just because someone is late for something, a normal mensch doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't lose it. We know that there are certain things that don't deserve a reaction of anger. And as long as we let it sit in the box called netzach, nitzachin, permanence, we can deal with it. But once we dust it off and pull it out and think about it, and I've seen this all the time, husband and wife who have problems with shalom bayis, chas and kalu who are having difficulties, start by saying, I know this sounds petty, but... Well, if it sounds petty, it is petty. If it sounds silly, it is silly. Does it matter? what the taste of the other person is and the gifts they've gotten? Does it matter that someone is not perfect enough to remember each and every time to do the things you expect? These are little things. They don't make for a happy life. These are things that are petty, that we know belong in the box called Netzach, off the table. The table is crowded enough as it is with issues. Why do we put more and more issues? So what we need to learn from Yehoshua is that we have to grow up. A little child has a lot of issues, and as he gets older, they go away. He outgrows them. And so, a person who's little, who's small in his ruchnias, he has a struggle with talking in shul during davening. But at some point, he's got to grow up. He's got to go on to different struggles and different battles. That's your battle. When you're 13 or 14 or 15 years old, and you go up for Hagbah, you have to concentrate. You're nervous, you're tense. Most people get past it. They go up and they do Hagbah routinely. We don't tell them, concentrate. Routinely is the way to do it. Well, if you're already old enough to do Hagbah routinely, you're old enough to come to shul and behave routinely. It should be something off the table. Put away. Put aside. Not a constant struggle. In Shalom Bayis, we have to look for ways to take things off the table. It would be wonderful if every couple went out and got a Monopoly set. Throw away the whole set. There's a card that says, get out of jail free. And if you ever play Monopoly, it's very enjoyable getting a get out of jail free card. So you sort of keep it in your pocket or keep it on the side. And when you need it, you flash it. So really, every husband and wife have to give each other a couple of get out of jail free cards. There have to be some things that you do that don't matter. They're not issues. If you're married for 10 years and your husband or wife does a certain thing away that gets on your nerves and you've been telling the other one about it, I got news for you. It's not going to change the second 10 years. Take it off the table. Put it aside. Put it where it doesn't matter. Put it in a box called Netzach. It's away forever. It's part of life. There are inconveniences in life. It snows occasionally. Sometimes it rains. Sometimes it's cold. Sometimes you get chas v'shalom, a flat tire. There are inconveniences in life. Life is not perfect. It's how we deal with them that decides whether we're happy or we're not happy. I remember when I was a chassan, I told my kala. I forewarned her about what she was getting into. I didn't tell her everything. I didn't want to scare her away. I told her, you know, I'm a very outgoing, talkative person. Sometimes I say a lot. I talk off the cuff. And I may say something that's insensitive. I don't really mean it. I want you to know ahead of time. You know, like any good kala, she said, oh no, you're not that way. You're much better than that. I said, oh, wait, you'll see. And later when it happened, she couldn't be angry at me. I told her, you see, I told you, I'm right. You see, I did it. There have to be things you can take off the table, imperfections. No one's perfect. So to start to care about everything is dangerous. It's dangerous in Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. There's another area where this whole lesson is very important. People, good people, struggle with the Midah of Netzach, and they've never even heard of the word. I know a young man, a Ben Torah, he's a tzaddik, I'm telling you he's a tzaddik, a bachur in the yeshiva. When he sits and learns, he's the picture of concentration. But I'm very close with him. I know him. He struggles terribly. When he's concentrating, he's thinking, am I concentrating enough? Am I understanding it enough? He obsesses about the things that take place for a good reason. He wants to do the right thing. There are people who obsess about proper things because they can't put it in a box. They can't take it off a table. What does it mean to be obsessive? You have a person who locks his front door at night and goes to bed. So, then he starts wondering, is the door really locked? So, it's a malady, it's a problem. Some people go back and check again and again. Now, what is that illness? It's an illness of failing in the midah of Netzach. It's not a high up in the clouds midah. You lock the door. The worry that the door is unlocked is put away. It's finished. Lenetzach. It's gone for the evening. It's not something you worry about. You said Shema. You're wondering, did I say Shema properly? You said Shema. You daven Maariv. Finished. It's in the box. It's over. It's not on the table. When you leave even good things on the table too long, they make a person ill. They make a person not well. Most forms of obsession are problems with the midah of Netzach. Now, don't get me wrong. If I have $10,000 in my pocket, and I don't, I assure you, if I have $10,000 in my pocket, I'm going to check it every 5 minutes and make sure it's there. It's normal. I'm obsessed. I never carry $10,000 in my pocket. But if I have $10 in my pocket, I don't check it every few minutes. Because the Midah of Netzach says, you checked it, it's there, finished. It's gone, it's off the table. The Abidahs that have to be off the table. The struggles with the Yetzirah. There are issues where obsession makes it worse. Letzad HaYetzirah. We all struggle with the world of Tumah that we live in. Streets that are not clean. Newspapers, magazines that are not clean, billboards, buses, wherever we go. It's a tremendous battle, a tremendous struggle. And we have to try as best we can to fight that battle, to stay away. But it's thrown at us. Most of us are not living in Me'ah Shearim or Bnei Brak. We're exposed. There's a vida of Netzach there too. There's a midah of Netzach which allows things to be routine and you don't think about it. You don't notice it. You walk past it without a battle. You see, wherever life puts you, you can't struggle with the Yetzirah day after day after day. He'll wear you out. He has more patience than you. You have to be able to put things aside. No less a mocker for this is the Bnei Yisachar, who has a sefer Derech Pikudecha. And in the introduction to Derech Pikudecha, he writes that when Chazal said Al Tarbe Sicha Emayisha Bi Ishto Yomru, that's talking for people that are not exposed. But the avoida of people who are exposed to a world which is gender neutral almost. When you go into any business, you're in the business world, you're not fortunate enough to be in the yeshiva your whole life. There are men, there are women. There has to be a netzach where it's not something you think about, you put it behind you. It's not a struggle, it's not a battle. Not chalila, it's not a struggle, not a battle, you give in to the Yetzirah. It's just not an issue for the Yetzirah. It's not something, it's something which becomes routine enough to be put behind you. It's not an easy thing, but it's a necessary thing. Because without the midah of Netzach, we get worn out. You can't fight the same battles over and over without a feeling of victory, of making it, of growing, of doing better. And that's why every year after Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you have to find some area in Avodah to do better. There are other areas of weakness. But this area, I could do it this year. This year, I could stop being makbid on being mavasedra, stop being makbid on my machrayim. I could stop being makbid on one of the 100 different ideas that have come my way over the Yomim Noraim, even though I'm not going to win everything. But something. Take something off the table. And for most of us, I think it's fair to say that in our world, the twin biggest nesiyonos that are klaliistic, individuals have nesiyonos. But in our world, the world of the United States today, the two biggest nesiyonos, in Ben Adam Lachaveirai, the biggest nesiyonos have to do with a person in his own home, not raising his voice, not losing it, having patience, husband and wife and children, each for each other. And Ben Adam Lamakim, certainly the internet is our biggest Yetzahara. And in these two areas, we must find areas of Nitzachim. Because they tend to be areas in which the struggle goes on and on and on, and there's Yiyush. People are Miyayish from a constant struggle, whether with children, or with husband with wife, or wife with husband. People are Miyayish from the struggle. You have to take some things off the table. You can't fight every minute. There has to be at some moment a moment of nitzachain, of winning the battle. I don't know what it is that'll work for you, but think about it. Yeshua set miraglim. He sent miraglim ahead for what? Klal Yisrael should know this is done, this is finished. The same thing has to be. With the internet, it has to be finished. Something has to be done. We have to get to a point where we say, it's not our battle. What is our battle? The battle has to be something new. You have to draw the lines back. We would all do well if we did not use the internet except before getting on, knowing what we're looking for, what we need to do, making a list, doing it, and finished. The social networking sites are traps of the Yetzirah. The entertainment sites are certainly traps of the Yetzirah. And you know it better than I do, because I'm at least in the yeshiva environment. We need to make new gedarim, and take the old battles and throw them in the bin, in the netzach bin. At home, we need to make gedarim, to safeguard the shalom at home, shalom with each other, shalom with children who may not be doing exactly what you wish they were doing. But there should be a spirit of shalom, a spirit of getting along, a spirit of I'm there for you. We need gedarim, we need siyagim, we need ideas, but it's got to come up. I know, as many of you know, there's a Shemir Shabbos politician, Senator Joseph Lieberman, who's been a senator for a long time from Connecticut. What are his gedarim? What are his rules of shalom bayis? So it once leaked out. Because as many of you know, about 7 years ago, Senator Lieberman was running on a national ticket, and he missed by just that much winning a national office. And Senator Lieberman was very depressed. Very sad. And when he came home, his wife said, "Don't worry, Joe. You know we have an agreement. Around here, you'll always be vice president." No, I aspire to reach that level in my home as well. I wish you all a good tovach, and Yitz Hashem next week again at 9 o'clock.